having a thought of this. If you're saved, you need to, you not only do you need to serve, you need to walk in the Spirit. You need to walk by the dictates and the leadings of the Holy Spirit if you want to do the best. Because if not, you get off in things and then Satan condemns you and tries to pull you away from your commitment to Christ. And we don't want that to happen. So we're going to begin here. Millie, would you just take that microphone if you can get it turned on? If not, just stand up and pray, sweetheart. I'll tell you what. Behind every woman, behind every man, there's a great woman. But don't forget the man. He's the one that knows how to turn the microphone.
Technology. Father, I just thank you for this day, Father, and all that's in it. Father, help us to receive your word, Father, and apply it to our lives and help us to change us. And Father, help us to walk daily with you, Father. Father, that we should grow and mature in the things of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Keep it on, sweetie. We might need you to... Hello, little fella. You know what? I like that. He knows where he's going. I hope every one of us know where we're going. We're in Romans chapter 8. I'm in the King James translation. And I want to read the words of a song that we just sang. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, to a certain group. And that's how come if you're born again, condemnation has no place in your life no matter what, no matter what's happened. I share this story. I don't share it out of a sense of pride or arrogance, but I did my best sinning after I got saved. I was only 19 years old when I got saved, and I made a lot of terrible, terrible choices, sinned, and I'm not perfect yet today, but he's brought me a long way since the summer of 1971. But there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And then there's another stipulation, and we learn this. This is what we're here to learn. Who walk not after the flesh, but we learn how to walk after the Spirit of God. We learn how to stop walking after the dictates of the five senses, which leads us into all kinds of terrible situations and problems. We learn to stop doing that. We learn. It's a process. We get caught in something. We say, Lord, help me not to get caught in that again. And we grow. And we learn. And we eat the word of God. Amen? So, who walk after the Spirit? How often are you walking after the Spirit of God is my question tonight. And I don't mean that in a mean or insensitive way, but I want you to judge yourself while you hear this word, where you're at. Because God loves everybody in this room. And God is not so concerned about what you did yesterday. He's concerned about what you're going to do today to make tomorrow different. That's what God's concerned about. It's a very simple, loving plan. God's not near as interested as what you did yesterday. Like the song, yesterday is dead and gone, and tomorrow's out of sight. And it's sad to be, oh, don't follow me in that song. That's a fleshy song. I used to sing that when I was a kid, for God's sake. It means bad things for good people. For those that walk after the Spirit, every morning you wake up and here's what happens. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. His mercies, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every morning when you wake up, no matter what you think you're hearing, what God is really saying is, all right, child of God, let's walk together today. Let's get yourself and meditate on the day. And let me show you Let me lead you through this day. Let's avoid some of these terrible boo-boos that Christians sometimes make. Amen? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. When did that happen? When you said, I'm a sinner. I hear you knocking. Come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. See, the law having to deal with man, fallen man, could not get the job done. It couldn't get. So they're sitting at a card table, and God Almighty just upped the ante. He put his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, you're a whosoever, would believe on him would not perish, but would receive eternal life. You'd receive a savior, high priest, forgiver, and you would receive a father, and you would receive the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The finished work of the cross condemns sin inside of any person. I used to be like a hog. Billy Sunday said this. Sinners are like hogs. They'll get into one mud hole, and they'll stay there till it's dried up, and they'll get up and they'll look for another mud hole. I used to be looking for one mud hole after another. But when Christ came into my life, he began to change me one day at a time, one Bible verse at a time. I was 19 years old. I bought a red Living Translation Bible. And I stayed in my room and I read it for months and months. And I read that Bible. I told that to a man yesterday that I met down at the boat launch. He let me pray for his wife, who was very sick. Does anybody know Brenda Masters? Or J.D. Masters? Well, I met J.D. in a divine appointment, being led by the Spirit of God, being where I'm supposed to be. Amen. We talked about fishing for a few minutes. Then we talked about his soul. We talked about his wife until he felt that prayer. And as soon as I said amen, Brenda Masters rang and said, something just happened to me. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. She said she's been fighting cancer and other problems for about 9 years. And J.D. said, well, hon, there's a fella here. And I just met him, and we just prayed. And he just said amen. And then I said, let me pray with Brenda. Let me talk to her. So I talked to her, and I told her, whatever the devil's been telling you, God didn't put that on you. Number one. Number two, whatever the devil's been telling you, you can be saved. You can live and not die. See, I've believed that for 70 years. I asked Millie, we were just talking the other day. I recently had a little stay in the hospital, and everybody got all upset. I never got upset. And Millie said, I never spent 1 minute thinking you were going to die. I said, I didn't either, hon. But I don't know what, I just took advantage of it as best as I could. My four daughters, they came then. They were so concerned that they let me say anything I wanted to them. And believe you me, if you've been around me, I took my advantage. And I said whatever I wanted. I told them everything I thought they was all doing wrong. They all agreed with me, and that's that. Then I got out. Okay? And I stand before you today, blessed to be here. Thank you for all the prayers that you've given me. That the righteousness, I'm in verse 4, of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Every moment that you spend walking in the Spirit, like I did yesterday with J.D. Masters, never met him before, You're condemning the power of Satan in this life. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh, they think about the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they think about the things of the Spirit. And we all know, every honest person in this room, you can be born again, you can still sin. It depends on what you're going to think about, what you're going to spend your day. See, the Bible says to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ and to the Word, not to the flesh. And when we do those things, we end up missing a lot of terrible things, and the blessings of God come to us. For to be carnally minded, verse 6, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is the enemy of God, not the person. The carnal mind, the mind that hasn't said, I'm not thinking about that anymore. And you go down the road talking to yourself, saying, no, that's wrong, Satan. I'm not thinking of that. I'm not holding that grudge. I'm not thinking that terrible thought. I refuse to. In Jesus' name, the more you bother me, the more I'm going to show you. You think I'm kidding? I'm going to take a ride down to the 6 Mile Recreation Area. I'm going to meet somebody, and I'm going to tell them everything that I know about Jesus that he'll let me. And then I'm going to pray for his wife. And I'm going to pray so strong, she's going to feel it. And she's going to call me at the precise moment. That precise moment. An angel came down at a precise moment. And whoever got into the water first was healed of whatever they had. Are you going to be there in this service? Is there something you want to give up? If there's something you want God's help with? For it is no subject. It is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be the carnal mind. See, the carnal mind won't cooperate with God. Even if it doesn't say the saved heart, it says the carnal mind. You can have a saved heart and a carnal mind and really mess your life up. Because there's nothing worse than being born again and getting off on the wrong. It's even worse. I know that experientially. Many of you do also. Because the carnal mind is the enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Until you see the next step to take after salvation, as you begin to, as Peter said, as newborn babies, earnestly desire the first milk of the word. And take so that you might grow. And you begin to read, and the Bible begins to read you, and all of a sudden you're saying no to things that you could not resist. Because you shall receive power after that the presence of God comes into you. And if you'll use that power to say no, it'll work. So then they that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. Make no mistake about that. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. I don't care how many prayers you prayed. I really don't give a rip about where you were when you prayed them. You either have the Spirit of Christ in you, or you've rejected that somehow. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And there's a war that goes on inside of every person. And you begin to win that war by teaming up with Team Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. You begin to take every thought captive. And then you begin to tell yourself something very bold. I don't have to think that anymore. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. In the name of Jesus, it's not led me to a happy place. You know what? I had a lot of happy, sinful moments before I got saved. But every sin I've ever committed after being saved, it just didn't do for me what I thought it would. That's just the truth. That's why I'm still here today, working out my salvation with my brethren, with my family. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. So the question goes beyond, have you said the sinner's prayer? The question goes to this point. Is the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Are you allowing that? Benny Hinn, about 25 years ago, wrote a book called Welcome, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I listen. Benny Hinn is one of the people that I've been listening to lately. He had some terrible problems here back about 6, 8 years ago, and he got over them. How did he get over them? By the Spirit. By the Spirit of God and by the name of Jesus. He began to take control of his mind once again. He got over them. Let's be very careful not to talk about people that God's redeemed. Let's be very careful not to touch God's anointed. Who's anointed? Everybody in this room that's being led by the Spirit instead of by the flesh. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also raise you up in your mortal bodies at this time by his Spirit that dwells in you. I'm telling you that I believe that Christians are carrying loads and diseases and problems that they really, that God will take care of them if somebody would just teach them that and preach them that. We have nobody that stands behind this pulpit has a right to condemn you, because if we go back to that, we're all condemned. And if we're going to go the other way, we're all forgiven. And God loves all of us, and his best intention is for every person in this room, every need. There are people here. They're waiting for a spouse. They're waiting for a break. They're waiting for a deliverance. They're waiting for a breakthrough. Keep waiting. Don't give up. Giving up won't help you one bit. Therefore, brethren, verse 12, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. Now, Christian, everybody hear me in this room. I don't care how many church services you go to. I don't care how many prayers that you pray. If you live after the flesh, you're going to die. Even I felt that. For if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you, through the Spirit, but with the help of the Spirit and the name of Jesus, if you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. We literally are told to crucify our flesh, to crucify it, to give it the most nastiest, dirtiest death, whatever it takes to get certain things out of our life, to work at that. And his mercy is new every morning. And he's not mad at anybody in this room. But he wants to have somebody speak that will reason with you. Come, let us reason together. Let's talk about how this all really works. You might have sinned less than me this week. I don't know. I'm not here because I'm perfect. I'm here because I'm a son of God. I'm here because he loves me. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, see, you're not going to get anywhere by what you think. It's what you know. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. That's just the truth of it. That's a powerful truth put into the words of a song. For if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you're going to live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now here it is, y'all. It ain't church attendance. It ain't tithes. It ain't being goody-goody. It's as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Now, in this life, now I didn't plan it this way. God did. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And husbands know how to take care of their wife. Look here, honey. That one's just for you. This bud's for you. You ever hear that? No, this Luden's is for you. Take it quickly. Lord, make her stop coughing 10 minutes after she puts it in her, 10 seconds after she puts it in her mouth. Just so she just realizes what a great husband she has. Amen and amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the true children of God. How many days do you let God lead you? How much of the time will you let him lead you? Because that's where your prosperity as a believer is. Some people were trying to get them to say this freaking sinner's prayer again for the 30 millionth time. Well, what they need to do is they need to be walking after the Spirit and watching ahead and preparing for each day. Are you led by the Spirit, by your flesh, or by what? What are you being led? What? And you know, I present myself to the Lord every morning. I make it clear to the spirit world, I want to follow Jesus today. I want to do the right thing today if it's at all possible. Help me, God. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have a right to do whatever you want to do with me today. You have a right to correct me or take my life and bring me home. You have a right. And that's the way I want it. That's the way I want to keep it. Would you turn with me to Psalm 23? And we'll just go on there. I've got more. I always have more. More to read than I have time, and that's okay. I don't believe in long messages. I like to make it short and sweet where you have no question about what I'm trying to say to you, and then just let's just get it on. Let's just take our communion like we're supposed to. Communion is supposed to be a happy time for everybody who's trying to follow the Spirit and who is willing to let go of the flesh. It's a happy time, not a sad time. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I could preach five messages out of Psalm 23 and 1. See, the Lord is my shepherd, not Satan. The Lord is my shepherd. You know what that means? He's the leader and I'm the follower. And it works good. Now, he can't, goats won't lead. See, they just go every which way. And the word says, Jesus speaking of the end, at the end of time, when it's time to judge everybody, I'm going to put the sheep over here, my sheep, and I'm putting the goats over here. I don't have nothing to say to the goats because their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If it ever was, it's been taken out. Can that happen? Yes. Who's your shepherd? When you wake up in the morning, who's going to be your shepherd? Who are you going to follow? The dictates of your flesh that wants, I don't even want to name those things. Or is it God? Is it Jesus who wants to give you the best of everything? We've seen so many people healed in this church, it's unexplainable. One night, Ernie and Mary, Millie and I, two or three others, were here, and a flood was coming. And it was coming for about the third or fourth time that literally was this high on this floor, all the way to the back of the building. And the toilets would back up and flood back there. And it was very disheartening. And finally, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I said, everybody move over. And I pointed to that water that was coming up halfway up that parking lot. And I said, in Jesus' name, stop right now and go back. You're not doing that again in this building. And if you were there, you saw it. It stopped right there. It went backward. All these years, it ain't never come up here again. That's why I'm still with the Lord. All I've seen the devil do is mightily screw people's lives up. Nothing that I would want to brag about. Here's my brag. When I address Satan, you're the only one at this time that is named Lucifer. You're going to the lake of fire. I'm going to be there with my favorite popcorn and a Diet Coke. And I'm going to watch as they throw you into that lake. And you're never coming out again. And you're never going to hurt God's people again. Now, sometimes to get what you want, you have to get a little salty with the devil. Tell him what you know. And tell him what he doesn't know. And then speak that name. See, there's only one name. There's not two, three, or four. There's only one name under heaven given to men by which we can be saved, delivered, and healed. And it ain't nobody else in this life except for Jesus himself. He restores my soul. That's a daily thing. He wants to restore you every day. He wants to restore you, put you on higher ground. Higher ground. He wants to help you. You'd be talking about, I've got this and that. Let's see, let's not talk about that. That's what happened yesterday. I'm more interested, daughter or son, in what's happening today in your life that'll make tomorrow even better. See, I live by that. I believe that. He restoreth my soul. He leads me. Can you see that in verse 3? There ain't no dadgum question who the leader is, and it ain't me. And if you're smart, it ain't you. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me to right living for his name's sake. His name's sake. He came to this earth and died because he felt like his death would mean something. And there would be people like us saved because of him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Many years ago, Larry Baker preached a message when he was my pastor, and this was New Life Fellowship. And he said, if you're not careful, God will have to break your legs or do what he's going to do, whatever he's going to do. He's going to correct you. See, that there it is right there. Your rod and your staff, it comforts me. I've got somebody in my life that ain't going to let me get too far out. He'll bring me back, either the nice way or the not so nice way. You're wondering about me raising my children. I got all my child raising from the Bible. I don't know where you got yours. But I got mine from the Bible. When I told them kids they were acting out in here, all I had to do was cut my eyes at them and say, you either stop, or you got three licks when we go home. And like you've heard Pastor Kelly preach, I didn't forget. Now, I gave them slack a little bit, but I let them know, if you push me, I'm going to correct you. And no correction is pleasant at the time. But afterwards, it produces righteousness. Now, when they left my house, they was on their own. I did the best I could. But you know what? They all wanted to see Dad when they thought he was going to die in December. Me and Millie and the Lord, we knew that wasn't going to happen. And they let me tell them anything I wanted to tell them. You know what they said? You're right, Dad. You're right. Woo-hoo. Now, I like this here. You don't. You might not. But I love this. I love when I stay with God and I take the punishment for it. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Glory to God. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. And I'm just going to tell you, my cup's run over for many years. And if you know me, you might not even like me, but you know that God does, and God's blessed me. Charlie, are you? Charles, can you leave that one like that? There's some people that are hot. Hey, look, Charlie, let me give you my shirt. Let me give you the shirt off my back. Does it feel okay? All right. Is there still hot people on this side? Yeah. Some people's always cold. Some people's always hot. And some people just make their own choices. Now look, I'm just going to read this last verse here. I've got another place. I'm not going to go there. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I'm going to go and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what I really want. I just want God. I've lived here 70 years. I'll live here 25 more, 35 more if God wants me to, or I'll leave right after this service. But God, walk in the Spirit. What spirit are you in? The last place I was going to go, the disciples said to Jesus, do you want us to call fire down on them guys? They're baptizing in your name. They didn't even ask you. You want us to call fire down on them like Elijah did? They really wanted to, you know, I understand that. And Jesus said, no, you don't know what spirit you're in. Now let me ask you, not about right now, about tomorrow morning. I want you to know what spirit you're in tomorrow morning. I'm asking everybody to start with the Lord. That's very personal. That's between you and God. And let's make an altar now. Let's examine our hearts. If you can, if God's given you the strength, if you want to keep your strength, bow your knee to the living God. This communion service is open to everybody. And examine your hearts. If there's something that shouldn't be in there, get rid of it. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord.